It's time for your horror medication. Before I begin my story, make sure you're not going to be interrupted. Check that you're secure. Make sure no one or anything can get you. Then get comfortable. Just close your eyes and let your imagination do the work. I've just moved along your ear canal, and I'm now inside your skull. Gregory, written and narrated by Bleeding Critic. Gregory had been so focused on his work over the past few weeks that on that beautiful morning, it was the first time for ages that he took his two dogs for a walk. His wife Julia had been walking them regularly. His wife Julia had been keeping their home tidy and clean. His wife Julia had been washing and ironing his clothes. His wife Julia had been making sure their teenage daughter was mothered and taken care of. And his wife Julia organised their social diary and initiated those intimate times of making lust. During the dog walk, Greg had a light bulb moment. It's time to arrange a treat for his gorgeous wife. He booked a spa day just for her. Sauna, steam room and swimming pool. Fabulous lunch included. Greg could never keep secrets from Julia. Julia knew Greg so well she managed to guess what he planned. Although she noted it was just for her, because she's a special lady, she insisted that he joined her. The following week, they set off early morning. Greg didn't feel too good. He'll probably feel better after a swim and a bite to eat. Thankfully, the venue wasn't too far. By midday, they had enjoyed all the spa's facilities, and when they were both relaxing in the jacuzzi, Julia clocked the time. It was exactly 12:15 p.m, time for lunch. They put on their white dressing gowns and matching comfortable spa slippers. Greg felt sick and told Julia he'll meet her out front in reception. Greg slowly walked into the changing room and found the toilet. He placed two fingers down his throat. He retched three times into the toilet, but nothing came out. But he knew that he slightly soiled himself instead. Diarrhea. His nausea was overwhelming. As his body temperature rose, he knew if he didn't make it into reception, no one would know that he was about to collapse in an empty changing room. Feeling very faint due to the pain in his abdomen, he stumbled into reception and realised he didn't have enough energy to speak loudly. He managed to say, "Can someone help me?" And then he fell. Julia just exited from the ladies' room and saw him collapse onto the floor. Only spa staff came to the rescue. There was obvious commotion and disruption to the gentle, calm atmosphere, but the elderly white hairs, spa member regulars, behaved as if nothing was going on, sipping their tea. "Oh, there's something real life and scary going on over there. I can't cope. La-di-da-di-da." Greg didn't black out, and he didn't bang his head on the solid marble floor. His head was hot. His arms were tingling cold. He had no chest pains. He actually felt like one of those unlucky extras in the original film The Matrix, when the bad guy pulled the plug and suddenly the good guy would just flop down dead. Even in his sudden state of vulnerability and pain, he managed to apologise for ruining his wife's spa day. Julia was more concerned than she became scared as she witnessed her husband's eyeballs move up, and so his pupils looked inside his skull, then move further around to the back of his head. To see the one she loved with white eyes was horrible. After the staff placed Greg in the recovery position, his eyes returned to their normal position. He was given some orange juice, which made him feel a little better. Greg thought he was developing diabetes. An ambulance was called just in case, and it wasn't deemed as an immediate threat to life. 60 minutes later, the ambulance and two paramedics arrived. Greg was resting in one of the vacant treatment rooms with Julia. He still felt nauseous and very guilty. Paramedics found no abnormalities. His blood sugar levels were fine, and Greg suggested the sudden sickness could have been caused by the lukewarm burger he had 48 hours ago. After a while, Greg attempted to eat and have some water. He immediately vomited everything up and felt very faint again. Greg was scared, feeling worse, and asked to be taken to hospital. The paramedic's impression was that Greg had gastroenteritis. The hours went by. Hospital staff were excellent and efficient. Further tests were made. They took Greg's symptoms very seriously. The hospital doctor agreed with the paramedic, gastroenteritis. However, the hospital doctor thought that Greg needed to see his own doctor due to an inflamed area around the abdomen. Because the accident and emergency wing of a hospital is to ensure no patient has anything life-threatening, Greg was discharged and free to go. Julia called a cab to return them to the spa to pick up their car and get her husband, Greg, home. Understandably, Greg said that he would never visit a spa again. Greg knew his body will take a while to recover from gastroenteritis, yet he felt not right and knew something else was going on. Greg went to see his own doctor the next day. His doctor agreed with Greg that something wasn't quite right. Due to Greg's past history of ulcerative colitis, an operation was arranged. A colonoscopy would examine the lining of the bowel wall. The thin, flexible tube would report any inflammation which could have ignited the recent stomach illness. After the colonoscopy and blood tests for everything, there was no flare-up from colitis and the bowel walls were fine. However, an X-ray had to be arranged due to increased inflammation inside Greg's stomach. The doctor called Greg after the stomach scan and arranged an immediate operation. The doctor was very vague over the phone. During Greg's urgent operation, a dark grey growth was found. The surgeon started to sweat, and for the first time in his extensive career as a surgeon, he was genuinely afraid. He presumed the mass of cells had not fully developed. It was a 4.5-inch fetus with a hardened skeleton and webbed hands. How the hell did this get inside a male stomach? What was more troubling is that this twisted stowaway had 6 small arms and a small single spiral horn growing out of its forehead. The growth was carefully removed for further testing, and Greg made a full recovery. It was agreed by the operating staff not to tell Gregory the truth in order to protect his well-being. In 1977, when Greg was nesting inside his warm mother's womb, a few hours before his birth, something entered his slightly sedated mother's vagina and made its way up into the uterus. It tore open the fluid membrane that protects and cushions baby Gregory, and while the clear fluid leaked out of the vagina, the intruder inserted its seed through the protective jelly of the umbilical cord and into the cooled single vein, which carries oxygenated, nutrient-rich blood that enters the navel of the soon-to-be-born baby Gregory. Thousands of babies' stomachs have been impregnated during their final hours in the womb. It's common for some of these tiny intruders to die during their first 3 months and cause upset to the baby due to their horns scraping the thin stomach lining. Human stomach acid can't dissolve the growth of a baby demon. And when the demon reaches a size of around 5 inches, it's able to leave its baby human host. And sometimes the demon gets stuck along its journey up through the esophagus, tearing the esophagus wall, causing bleeding into the still developing baby stomach. And then many baby human hosts die from choking along with the baby demon. The public don't know about this horrendous occurrence. During Greg's childbirth, he swallowed down some infected fluid from his mother's birth canal. The bacteria managed to kill the baby demon. A few baby demons prefer to actually stay living inside their human hosts, remaining in the stomach, which explains why some people can eat so much and not gain any weight. The next time you experience severe stomach pains, just remember what happened to poor Greg. Could it be a dead baby demon's single horn scraping your stomach lining? Or a lazy demon sharing your drink and food? Now, if it is a demon that decided to stay, no one knows what they are capable of if an eviction is imminent. Let's just hope they don't climb up into your esophagus and choke you to death. You've just listened to Gregory, written and narrated by Bleeding Critic. Copyright 2015 Bleeding Productions Limited.